Recording in progress.
Right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Tuesday, the 30th of November 2021. Fantastic today. Somebody I've been wanting to speak to for a long while. Only known him through Twitter, but we've got Brian today, Brian Shepherd, also known to most of you as Gold Gypsy on Twitter. Brian and I have only ever interacted through Twitter. So really, morning, Brian. Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for the intro. And I do appreciate that this is going to be a great podcast and we should go from here.
Yeah. And what is becoming a running theme in these podcasts, the same with Andy a couple of weeks ago, is I keep running into gooners.
Would you like me to tell you the story about me being a gooner and not being a spud?
I think you should. Yeah, let's see there, because I might end it shortly after that.
It's purely coincidence, mate. It is purely coincidence. My old man, you know, he was he's a very sort of like indifferential person. And he would go and see Arsenal play and Spurs play after the war, through the 50s and the 60s. And we're going back a long time here, but it's relevant, yeah? And before I was even born, I was born in 1967, yeah? So yeah. What happened was, he said, come on, son, I'll take you to the Spurs. It'd be a good day, it'd be a good day out. And I need to ask you a question, yeah? Is how much we paid the touts for a over the centre line ticket at Spurs, that White Hart Lane in 1981. What do you reckon?
I've no idea. I mean, I was going then, but I was only 10, Brian. It probably a quid, 2 quid back then.
It was 7 quid.
Seven quid. Yeah, and worth every penny to see Glenn Hoddle.
No, it wasn't worth every penny. Because what happened was that at the time, Spurs had a good team. They had a good team. They had Glenn Hoddle, they had Ardiles, Villa. They were like on the rolling on the back of the 81 Cup final. And I sat there above the centre stand with my old man, and it was versus Southampton, I think Southampton was one of the games, and it was awful. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Spurs, you know.
Brian,
was the worst game ever.
Brian, it hasn't changed in 40 years, mate.
And I sat there, and there was some guy to the right of us going, go on, Glenn, set them alight. Go on, Glenn, set them alight. And he was like, wow, looking at him going, and he was just totally spurt. Yeah. And Glenn had a day off. He was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Bugger it. As much as Dennis Bergkamp had a day off, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't on form. So that game ended. I went home, and the second game, a couple of weeks later, I think it was Coventry, or I can't remember, to be honest, Man City, whatever. It was the same, 0-0. It was a drizzly day, and it was just an awful game, right? And my old man, like, I could understand where he's coming from. He's like, no, he's promised to take me to these games, and he has done. He's getting the best seats. And then the following week, my friends at school, because I'm 1981, 1982, so I'm like 12, 13 years old. Why don't you come down to the Arsenal tonight and go again against Norwich? And I said, yeah, fuck it, why not, you know? And it was a 3-2 thriller. It was a 3-2 thriller. I think Norwich were 2 up and Arsenal come back to being 3-0. And that was it.
You come out of there an Arsenal fan. So basically what you're saying, if Glenn Hoddle had dazzled you in that first game against Southampton, you'd be one of us.
If Glenn Hoddle had turned up and done something,
you'd have been one of us.
Spurs fan.
Yeah. And probably the guy sitting a few seats down going, go on, Glenn. It was probably Suggsy, to be fair. Well,
you know he's a gooner.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold the arse against you like I didn't with Andy. It's just I have to put up with it. I've had it all my life, so it's not anything I'm new. But let's talk. Right, how did you get into? I mean, obviously people will know you as Gold Gypsy doing football. You've moved into horse racing, so that's where we are now. What I want to do is go right back and talk us through that journey of how you got into betting. I think you come from a betting background. How you got into it and sort of where you've, how basically the journey you've been on to get where you are now.
Yes, I do. 100%. I do absolutely come from a betting background. My grandfather was an illegal bookie. So I want to, if I might rewind the story, tell you how it went. So we're going back 100 years now. You know, we're not mucking around. And he was born in 1906. Around about 1925, he's got a baker's round. In those days, the baker's round was like a milker's round. You know, deliver milk, deliver bread. And the one thing I'm disappointed is I never got to spend those extra years with my granddad. But what he did was genius. Well, on some parts. He realised on his baker's round, and he was delivering baked bread on a hand-drawn carriage, that he could take some bets, you know, illegally. Yeah, because don't forget, it wasn't up until 1961 that bookies' bets could be taken off.
Yeah.
Of course, right? And he basically say, oh, no, I'm going to take this old girl's 2 shillings every day on the accumulator and just bag it and not lay it off, and it's never going to come in. Unfortunately for him, it came in.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happened is that he had to go back to my grandmother and say, oh, Rose, I've got a bit of a problem here. Can I have my engagement ring back?
Wow.
Yeah. And she never, ever, ever forgave him for that. He died at the age of 60, 67, 1974. But she never got, and all these sort of stories unfold. But yeah, he took a bet in 1927, wherever, and came in. She landed the 4-horse accumulator.
Wow. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. He had to go back and say, oh, Rosie got a bit of a problem. Can I pawn our engagement? And this is why I think sometimes, why am I here? How am I here? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, it worked out. He learned his lesson from that. Yeah. And he pursued his illegal bookmaking industry up until 1961.
Wow.
Based on that, because if you, well, you've got to cast your mind back, you know, and say in 1950s, 60s, there were 70,000 people attending a crowd at Wolverhampton Dogs, at White City, or whatever, because that was the only place you could place a bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he would decide, I can place a bet with me. And what happened out of this, all of this carnage, was that my dad was this bookies runner. And he was sending him down and saying, take the bookies bets, take the bets, take the bets, take the bets. And they were written on all sorts of stuff. They were written on the back of cigarette papers and whatever, and it's an illegal bet. And he was outside of his operating hours as a shop, would take the bet.
Wow.
He got arrested twice. And what actually amuses me most of all is that he sent tea and biscuits over to them. He said, tea and biscuits. Mr. Shepherd knows that you're watching us from the front part of them and you're spying on them.
Wow.
Yeah?
So that was sort of the background to your childhood, really, then. So
it was the background. I mean, I wish I could go back in time and look at the trunk room of my grandfather. He had an amazing spring-coiled racing course. It had edges and jumps and whatever. You could dial in the handicap, you know. So you kind of wonder what they were up to years ago, you know, in terms of let's beat the bookies. And I remember smoke-filled rooms and people going, bat this bond on, bat this bond. It's amazing, really.
Amazing. The game's moved on so much, hasn't it? I mean, like you say, I grew up sitting outside corrals, really, and you could see the smoke coming out. You could see smoke coming out the door. And I remember the first time I ever went in one. I can't remember how old I'd have been. It had been Grand National probably 1 year, don't know, 18, 19, and flipping heck, the smoke and everything filling them was unbelievable. So obviously then, how did you, have you always bet? I mean, obviously you've only sort of come on Twitter in 2019, 2020. Have you always bet? Is that something you just carried it forward and got a taste for it?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I'm a bit of a slow learner, a bit of a, okay, how do we do this? In terms of exchange. There's nothing to be afraid of or sort of like scared of. There are lots of people on Twitter who give you tips, give you this, do this, do that, do that. And it's a very, very, it's a big mind shift.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I respect people like you. And I respect people like us. Because what we want to do is we want to tell people what to do. Can't possibly give out information as a tip. And that's a really difficult thing to do.
It's like, it is.
It's impossible.
It's a thankless task. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally thankless task. And then people will hold you to account for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
What I try to do with TOTS is basically say, here's a video, here's the system, and there you go.
This is how that's how I use data. This is what I do, and I'll show you and have a look. Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Yeah. It's educationally. It's like it's not a written word.
Yeah.
If you say to someone, do this, do that, look for this, look for that. You can't be helped to account for it.
I mean, that is exactly it. That, you know, when you go down that road, and I think, you know, you'll get it the same as I get it. People do want you to do that because they don't want to put any effort in themselves. So they just want to, you tell me, right, what's Brian betting today? Why and what are you doing? And the problem with it really is they give you like a week and, oh, well, Brian's done it for a week and I haven't made any money. He's fucking useless. And then they'll come to me and, oh, Ian's done it for a week. He's fucking useless. Yeah. And on they go to the next one, the next one, the next one. And I think exactly, and everything I've seen from you is that it is, this is what I do. This is educational is the word I use. This is how I would go about it. You're welcome to, if you want to, you're welcome, you know, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you what to bet every day. And I think there's lots of people, there's lots of people like that out there. And I think that is exactly the way to go. Unfortunately, as you said, you know, when you exchange messages with me, we're fighting against tipsters and affiliates and this, that and the other all the time. And for these guys looking to get into it, I feel a bit for them because I think it is so easy to get wrapped into these Twitter tipsters and things that just say, do this and we've got 4,000 billion points profit. And I know you've been sort of quite dug a few out. I've seen a few of your tweets when you've sort of gone and dug a few out, and I admire you for doing that. I did it years ago and I just got tired of it.
No, I completely agree. I think what annoys me most is I think you talk about ongoing legislation with betting companies such as 365, who are the worst offenders, in my opinion, all of them. It's like that they should be disallowed from having any affiliation contracts. And I don't need to say any much more than that. Bet365, Sportsbook, you should not be allowed any affiliate contracts.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
that's it, ban it.
Obviously, with this gambling review that's going on at the minute, and it seems to be very much the focus on the customer and what we've got to do and what we've got to prove, what we've got to prove and what we've got to show, and that, and you, I mean, you go back.
Let's turn it on its tails and look at the corporate entity that is driving it.
Yeah, I mean, you go with that 10 years ago, that affiliate business. I mean, I remember casino products popping up, roulette ebooks, just for the affiliate link to get people into Bet365 casino or whatever it may be. It was absolutely horrendous, horrific, and completely, like you say, completely unregulated. Just anybody would send links out, go to the casino, do this, two-page ebook, spin. I mean, I remember somebody sent me one years ago, Chase the Zero or something, that they reckon that if you went on, I think it was Bet365, you went on Bet365 and you bet black and red every time and zero. And in effect, it said, because you were winning every time on black and red, it would force the zero out. Of course, it's absolute nonsense. Of course it doesn't. It's a random number generator. But people were going on and doing this for hundreds of pounds. And like you say, it was all just Bet365 links and pay the guy a portion of what they won. Horrendous.
Yeah. I'd like to end this conversation. I'd like to government. Right? I know it's a bit sort of like, balls in hand, I would like to see the government say there will be no more affiliate links.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. I think there's a couple of people who will listen to this who might disagree, because I think there's a couple of big hitters.
Well, you know, they can listen to it.
I agree totally. I think it's an avenue that people use to exploit others, very much so. The affiliate links. They know who to target with them.
Yeah, exactly.
So how your own betting? So now you obviously football trader, but you've moved into some racing. I saw I hadn't seen you for a while and you popped up the other day and I thought, I'll get older, Brian, we'll get this pod sorted out. And then I had a quick look at your feed and I see you're laying some horses, is it now?
Yes, it is. And look, I'll be straight up with you. My granddad, is the bookie.
Yeah.
He was a legal bookie for a long time because it didn't become legislated in law in the UK until 1961. And he taught me a few tricks where he got. So it's a difficult one to pinpoint because when you look back at your family history, your granddad says, we're going to be best bookies in the world, we're going to be the fixed chancellor, we're going to be an artist, whatever. And my dad says, I'm not interested. I don't want to do it. And so there's always that problem with it. And listening to my mum, okay, I'm going to tell you a story about my granny, if I can.
Yeah, carry on, yeah. You talk away.
So my granddad was, he was a well-to-do. He was a baker. He had a baker's round. And then he decided that he could make a bit of extra cash on the side by taking a few bets and hoping that they wouldn't come in. As I was talking about like 1926, 1930. Anyway, this old Duchess, he's quite well to do. He's got a, in those days, you can't place a bet unless you're on the
court. Oh, well, you said, and the accumulator came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it came in. It cost him 35 quid, which is $2,500, $3,000.
Well,
paid it off. He decided like that that wasn't going to happen again. And he was blind in one eye, hard of hearing. So all of those things made him much more virtually aware of the calculations of the odds. Yeah, because you are.
Once you've been burned, you start to wise up a bit.
Yeah. Wise up a bit, and also like your mathematical brain.
Mm.
And in between that and 1951, he proceeded to win a lot of buy two houses and live his life. So you wonder sometimes when you look at your parent, right? He got burnt, you know?
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, I'm going to direct you to a story here. His brother, his younger brother, is working as a maitre d' in Paris, in a restaurant. And all he had was, this horse is going to piss the dog. It's going to fucking romp it. I think it was 1950, 1951. Come over the land. He won by 4 lengths. He actually went and put his life savings on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it won.
Bloody
and hell. We're talking about like Annick Burst, April, 33, 1, 25, 1,
so he raised up from obviously losing the accumulator, pawning the engagement ring to buying a couple of houses
from
a legal bookmaker. And what I mean, you obviously where I wanted to get to, obviously you're betting horses. So how do you do that now? What's led you to, obviously I've only known you really as a football player.
What's led me to that is, I'll give you a straight answer. It's like everyone is working around artificial intelligence and bots. No one is really working around human intelligence. That's this thing, right? Is that right? That's right. What's happening this morning? So, it's actually a self-instructed decision. There are far too many people now who subscribe to services and get an expect a result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they haven't got the mindset or the kind of thinking that's
just, yeah, the approach.
Actually,
yeah.
I can do something for myself. I don't know anything about the service, to be honest. Do you know, it's a good service. And you,
yeah, I mean, mine is.
You've got a service and you've got to let people, the most important thing is you've got to let people trade for themselves.
Yeah, totally.
The minute you say, do this, do that, it's hanging over your head.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally.
You're selling your service, which is excellent service, and people come back to you and criticize it.
Yeah, I mean, mine is all about data. Mine is all really about the data I use. These are the sheets I use, and we make videos on how to use them. But ultimately, yeah, it's the same old thing. It's the take the person of water, you can teach them to fish or give them two fish, whatever that's. I want to try and make people self-sustainable. So obviously you've made a conscious decision to go into the NAGS. Are you going to give anybody an insight into how you do it? Or no, you don't have to.
I will. It's a very funny thing. You want to, I suppose it's like one of those things where you don't want to give away a secret, but you want someone to have a fair chance in the market. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
It's just, I know I put up a message a few weeks ago saying, come join us. Like, do I want to give away my strategy?
I've got your feed up, and that's what you've put. You bought it on yourself. You put who's interested, retweet if you want to know how to play the GGs.
Yeah. Right, you're right. And I just I'm not sure. You know, I'm just not sure because I have ethics. You know, if I have some system,
yeah,
that can make me money, then do I need to give it away? I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. And that's absolutely fine. I mean, people know where you are if they want to get hold of you, and you can take it from wherever you go.
I admire you for your podcast. And
resilience is the word. And have you? Do you still do the football at all, or have you?
I do. I just felt that. So regarding me and Tops Trailers, it's very hard to stay up late at night. Even on the Premier League team, Premier League, Bundesliga, they are so efficient markets, and they are underpaid. Need to look at the other markets, and it's just too much work.
Yeah, really. I think we sort of spoke briefly before we came on. I think one of the big issues is, I mean, even in the time I've been doing it, how the football, just the time and calendar.
Yeah.
It is, you know, everything's for TV to have a game on 24/7. And it used to be, you know, you'd have 8 Premier League games at 3 o'clock in an afternoon on a Saturday and 2 on a Sunday. You've now got them Friday night, Saturday lunchtime. The time involved, I fully agree with you. I think it's something that people need to bear in mind when doing this, that the time involved to sit and do football day in, day out. I mean, racing has a window. I talked to somebody like Andy. Obviously, does a lot of work in the morning, but racing starts at 12 or whatever, and this time of year finishes at 4. That's it. Where football is just 24/7. And the volume, I find the volume, you know, at times, Jesus Christ.
I find the volume overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I got into it because of where I was stuck in my situation. And so I don't hold no prejudice against anyone on it. But I just personally feel that there are easier ways
to make money, yeah.
To trade my money.
And I mean, you are somebody who's respected on Twitter. What, for people starting out, which is the minefield that we were talking about, what would be your singular bit of advice for them?
My singular bit of advice, they contact me and I'll do all the best I can do to help
you. Okay, mate, that is absolutely brilliant of you. Very good of you. You're not bad.
I'm not going to turn anyone away. I've been there, I've done it. And when I first started trading, and I've discovered, I'm a late comer to the business, exchange bridge, and meeting new people, it's like, okay, I've got a 3-year academic course to learn. I'm going to lose a lot of money. It's going to cost me money. But after that, if you don't make money from it, you failed. So anyone who's anyone can contact me and say, fine, I'm doing tennis, I'm doing this and that. I would gladly help you out and just prevent you from going to a spiral or losing control of your assets or anything. So it doesn't matter what you trade.
Brian, brilliant. For a goonie, you're not bad.
Yeah, for a
spud,
you're not bad to
read. I'm sure we will continue our football banter. I want to thank you for coming on. It's been very good. As always, you know, you can contact me.
It's been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah, and you can contact me anytime. And yeah, send me that picture. He's got a picture of his
I'm gonna send you it right now.
Yeah, grandparents.
It means so much to me. Can I just say before the end, that picture means so much to me.
Yeah, he's got a picture of his grandparents at we'll try and
get my grandparents' shop being demolished to make way for a integrated, better future with this horrible council estate to become a no-go area. I'm going to send that to Jack and you can put it on this podcast.
Brilliant. Brian, I'll speak to you soon. Thanks ever so much for coming on. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. And thank you very much for having me on.
No problem. Cheers, mate. Bye.